How many of us have ever been surprised by God? I mean, see God show up in an unexpected way or in an unexpected place. I remember the night that I was called to ministry the first time that God really gave me this experience of a call into ministry. Now, I was, as a teen, at that point, I loved church and I loved Jesus, but I was in a church that was foreign to me. And I was not there because I felt like God wanted me to be there. I was there because I wanted to be with a certain girl. It was her parents' church. It was a youth revival time, and I went to be there with her. And it was a different style of church. It was not a Baptist church. It was not really a... wasn't connected to really any denomination. It was a non-denominational charismatic church. And so it was a little bit different from what I was used to, but there I was in this service with all of these things going on, and in the middle of this service, not at the end, in the middle there was an altar call, and all of these people started going down, and all these youth went down, and there were probably 200 youth there that night, and of the 200, probably 75 or 80 went down, and I went down too, but I didn't go down because I had some kind of decision to make. I went down because I felt this pull to be up there praying over these people who were at the altar. I felt this pull to be up there to help them however I could. And when I was there in that moment, I just remember this voice say to me, this is what I have for you. And I've often asked, I was asked by a deacon emeritus at a church a few years back, if when Moses was there on holy ground at the burning bush and he heard the voice, he said, was that a voice that I could hear? And I said, I don't know if it was an audible voice that you could hear if you were there next to Moses, but I know Moses could hear it. I don't know if anybody else in that room heard the voice that I heard, but I know in that moment that God spoke to me, and I was in an unexpected place, and he spoke to me in an unexpected way, because I remember that I was excited, because as I prayed that night, I realized what God was saying, and I went to my youth minister the next day, and I was like, man, I was at this church service, and God talked to me, and he went, what? He said, okay, what? And I explained it. He said, okay, God called you. Don't say God talked to you. People are going to think you're crazy. And I said, but he talked to me, but I heard him, you know? He tried to explain this away. Now, I'm sure that many of us have stories of God surprising us, and I bet the person in today's text felt many of the same things that we felt in those situations when God surprised us, when God did things that we did not expect. We're continuing this morning, finally getting back into our heroes theme, with a new series in the book of Judges on a man named Gideon. And it's called Gideon, the Unexpected Leader. And we're going to start our series there at the beginning of Gideon's call. We're going to see his call. We're going to see God speaking to him, and we're going to understand some things this morning in a very short portion of Scripture. And there we pick up in verse 11 of Judges chapter 6, and it says, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you? And he said to him, please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, but I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now, and we thank you, and we praise you for your blessings. Father, we ask right now that you would take this time and use it for your glory. Father, use me as your vessel this morning. Speak through me. Make your words known. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask all these things in the name of your son, Jesus, and for his sake. And all God's people said. Again, in this series, just like our David series, We want to focus on what Gideon can teach us about following God faithfully. And as we pick up this story of Gideon here, the very first thing that really just jumps out of the page is that we must be willing to do the small things to be entrusted with the big things. It's very interesting to note where Gideon is and what he's doing when the angel comes to him. He is beating out the wheat in the wine press. Now, why is this interesting? Why does this stand out? Well, generally speaking, the wild-scale harvest, the big overall operation of wheat, was a man's job in this society. But the beating out of a small amount of wheat, that was typically a household chore. That was something that the wife would do or a daughter would do. This would be seen as women's work. But yet here we find Gideon, and he's not just beating out wheat. He's doing it in the wine press. He's doing it in a cramped space as he's hiding. So he's doing this job that's taking great strength to do in a small, confined space, a job that most people wouldn't ask for, that most people would look at and say, well, I don't know if I want to do that. It's one of those things where it's hard to want to sweep the floor. It's hard to want to do the things sometimes that come with what God has called us to. But we see here with Gideon that until we're ready to do the small things, God doesn't give us the big things, because Gideon was doing the small things that needed to be done when the angel found him. We have to be willing to do those small things if we ever wish to be entrusted with the big things. It's easy to think that small tasks are beneath us, that they're tasks that we need to delegate to someone else. Well, somebody else can do that. I have more important things to do. But that really isn't how this works. The best leaders are the ones who aren't afraid to help with the small things. The best leaders are the ones who get in there and roll up their sleeves and get dirty along with the workers. They're the ones who get in there and lead by example. It's very hard to follow a leader who just says, do this, do this, do this, do this, and isn't willing to jump into the trenches. When we watch those great movies, those war movies that we see, the battle movies, or whichever one it is, whether you're talking about Braveheart or one about a modern war, the thing that pulls you to the main character is what? It's that their leader is leading them into battle. They're not sitting back. When you watch Braveheart, he jumps out there and he says, get them, right? I was going to do my Scottish accent, but I decided to step back for a minute. Oh. But he was willing to get dirty. He was willing to do what needed to be done. He didn't just bark orders. He said, I'm going to dig in there and do what I need to do. And Jesus talked about this in the Gospels as well, right? Over in Luke 16:10, we're talking about the stewards. And he says, one who is away from you. And time and again in Scripture, we see this principle work its way out. Time and again, we see the great leaders of Scripture are not called from greatness. They're not called from the high places. They are called from the small things. Where was Moses whenever God spoke to him at the burning bush? He was watching the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro. He was out doing the work. He was doing what he was called to do. When Samuel went and found Saul, what was Saul doing? He was looking for his father's donkeys. He was off doing the chore that nobody wanted to do. And then after he was told, you're going to be king, he went back to farm a little bit. He was like, I don't want to do this. He was still doing the small things. David, the whole story of David, when Samuel shows up and he talks to Jesse and he goes through all of his sons and he says, surely there's somebody else. Who else is there? Well, we've got David. And what's David doing? He's watching the sheep. He's doing the tasks that nobody else was going to do. We see God over and over call people to do great things, to leadership, only when they're doing the menial things. So don't ever think anything is beneath you. Don't think there is something you shouldn't have to do, because those are the things that sometimes truly count. Doing the things nobody else is doing simply because they need to be done or that the task has been given to you. Just doing those things. There are people in this congregation that I have watched who do just simple things that nobody knows about because they need to be done. People who scrub toilets, people who fix things, people who go around and take care of all of the things around, and nobody ever sees them do these things, but they do them because they feel like God has called them and given them this task. One thing I know for certain is that you, if you aren't faithful in the smaller tasks, God's not going to give you the bigger tasks. But Gideon here is hiding in the wine press. He's beating out the grain, and the angel appears to him and says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." The NIV says, "Mighty warrior." Now, this no-name person is hiding, and he's greeted with this great greeting. You know, God is in the habit of calling us by our potential rather than by our status. When he saw Gideon, he didn't say, "Hey, Gideon, who are you?" He said, "Mighty warrior." When God looks at us, he doesn't see who we are or what we're doing. God sees who he can make us into. God doesn't call us by our status. He calls us by our potential. And again, as you go through Scripture, you see the same thing. When we begin with Abram, Abram's name meant exalted father, and he had no kids. But God looked at him, and God said, "Your name will not be Abram. It will be Abraham, Abraham, the father of many." He looked at Jacob, whose name means cheater, supplanter, and he said, "No longer will you be a cheater. You will be Israel, one who strives with God, the Prince of God." He looked in the New Testament at Simon, and he said, "Simon, you're one who hears. You're not just going to be one who hears. You are going to be the rock. You're going to have a testimony that people can look to." God calls us to our potential. Here we see Gideon, whose name literally means one who cuts down, beating wheat in the wine press. And when God comes to him, he doesn't say, "Hey, you guy who cuts down trees." He says, "Hey, warrior, the Lord is with you." Now, here's part of the importance of this verse. The potential is only true if the Lord causes it. He's only a warrior if God is with him. He isn't a warrior any other way. There's no other way he gets there. God transforms his status, and the same is true for us. God sees in us the potential of what he can do. He sees in us the things that he can do and where he can put us, but the problem is we get in the way. The problem is we try to make the transformation. Well, I'm going to make myself into who I think God wants me to be. And God may be calling me somewhere else completely. I don't know how often I struggled with my calling as I went through everything. Because in my family, this wasn't the greatest calling in the world. They wanted me to make money, right? I was going to be a doctor, or I was going to be a lawyer. I was going to have money. I wasn't going to be a pastor. And so as I struggled with that, it took me 8 years to get my bachelor's degree. Not because I couldn't do the job. I mean, I graduated summa cum laude. I mean, I could do the job. I could make the grades. It took me 8 years because I kept changing my major. I would say, "God, you know, I could be a doctor who has biblical things on the wall and stuff in the thing. I could serve you that way." And I would start in that direction, and God would say, "I didn't say that." And then I'd go back. "Okay, I'll be a pastor." And then I'd say, "Well, God, I could be a lawyer. We're living in a society where churches need lawyers, and so I could do that." "I didn't say that." And over and over and over again, I would go through this process, and I would get in the way of what God was trying to do, and I would try to hurry the transformation. We try to make it be what we want it to be, and we aren't faithful in the small things in a hurry to get to the big things. And God is calling you by your potential today. God is looking at you this morning and calling you to your potential. He's calling you out by your potential. So quit living in your status. Quit living in where you think you are, and quit trying to force a new status, because you only get the new status through God. You can't get the new status any other way. God is going to take you there. And because he calls us by our potential, sometimes we find ourselves confused. How often do you find yourself confused? You're looking around and you're going, "I don't get this. I don't understand this. I don't know what's going on." And we find ourselves stressed. But the good news is the Lord doesn't fear or punish questions. There is a theology out there that was pushed on me for a long time, and I believed it. God is sovereign, which he is, and he's right, which he is, and you shouldn't question God. I believed that forever. I would go along, "Oh, okay, I don't understand, but I'm just going to. But that's not what Scripture says. Life got hard and it made me struggle, and I began to look at Scripture and I began to realize that lots of people in the Bible question God. And He doesn't ever shy away from them. Look at Gideon's question. He comes to him and he says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And Gideon says, "Huh. If the Lord is with us, why is this happening to us? And where are all the wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord's forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." What he's saying is, if God's on our side, why are these things happening? Why is it so bad? Why can't He do for us what He did before? Does that sound familiar? How often do you find yourself there? How often do you find yourself struggling with what God is doing in your life, and you're sitting there going, "God, I don't understand. I thought You were for me, but everything seems to be falling apart, and the ends don't meet, and everything's falling down around me, and mama's sick, and daddy's hurt, and everybody's fighting with each other, and nobody can get along, and I don't know what You're doing. God, why am I having to experience this? Why am I going through this? Where are You? Why aren't You doing anything?" God wasn't afraid of Gideon's question, and He's not afraid of our questions. In fact, He welcomes our questions. We can't grow without questions. We can't understand without questions. We can't learn to trust God without questions. Do you have questions? Do you have fears? Do you have concerns? Give them to God. He can handle them. He wants to answer them. But don't be surprised if God says you're the answer. Look what He says to Gideon. "And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel.'" He's beating out the grain, hiding because he doesn't want to get caught, putting the grain up so he doesn't get caught. Going through all of this, the angel shows up and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And he goes, "Huh, you think He's with us? Look where we're at. We're on the bottom of the bottom, and nobody's here to help us. And what are we supposed to do about it?" And the angel of the Lord says, "You know what? Go and take care of it, dude. You go and take care of it. You go and do it. Did I not send you? Did I not tell you to go?" You know, God uses what we bring to accomplish great things. Gideon did not think of himself as mighty. But God says this might is His. Go in this might of yours. Didn't say go in this might that I'm giving you. Go in this might of yours. Go in this little bit that you have. Take this little bit that you have. This little bit of courage that you've got. This little bit of valor that's already within you. This little bit of pride. This little bit of faithfulness that you can bring because I'm going to use it. Just bring it to me. Just this little bit. You know, we feel that same way sometimes, right? When we think about our country, is that not what we do? We get all welled up inside. We may have never gone to battle ourselves, but by golly, we're ready to. When we start singing, "God Bless the USA" by Lee Greenwood, "Give me my gun, I'm ready to go," right? God says to Gideon, "I'm going to take that little bit. I'm going to take that little bit that you have, that little bit of courage, that little bit of might, that little bit, and I'm going to use it." God will take what we bring and use it for great things. But again, that's in His hands. Man, Gideon says, "But I'm the smallest of the small. I'm the smallest and the weakest and the youngest of the smallest and the weakest clan in of all of Israel. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to be with you. But I'm going to be with you." That's like the child who's scared of the dark, but if daddy's there, they'll take on the world. That's what happens. That's the child that says, "Daddy, come on, I need to go. I need you to go with me. I need you to just be with me just a little bit." And God says, "I'm going to take your might and I'm going to enlarge it, and you will lead this people to overthrow their oppressor. I'm going to take what little you have." Whatever it is you have in God's hands, it's more. Remember the little boy over in John chapter 6? He had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, and Jesus fed thousands with it. God uses what you already have, but he multiplies it to be so much more. He takes it and he uses it and he accomplishes great things, because in God's hands, the little bit that we have becomes enough. In God's hands, the little bit that we have becomes more than enough. That's what God can do. So maybe this morning you relate to Gideon. You're hiding out, just doing what you need to do to get by. You're hiding out because you don't want anybody else to see. You're trying to keep things where you want them to be, and God is trying to call you to do something else. Maybe this morning you've been unfaithful with the small things, and you've been wondering why God isn't giving you the big things. When you're going, God, I really want a huge ministry, but you're afraid to go clean the toilet. Well, God says when you start cleaning the toilet, I can start counting on you. I can start doing the things that you've called me to do. Maybe this morning God's calling you to so much more if you'll just accept the call. Because here Gideon could have said, sorry, God, I'm not your guy. I'm not your guy. But he didn't say that. Maybe this morning you've been struggling and you're afraid to ask the questions that you need to ask. Or you're afraid of the answers. How often do we not ask questions because we don't want to hear the answer? Maybe this morning you've been thinking, I don't have anything to bring that God can use. Remember that God can use whatever you bring. Maybe this morning you're just struggling in general. Maybe you've just been going through a hard time, or you're going through something new that you've never experienced and you just need support. Now's the time to come and say, I need support. Maybe today you just want to pray. The altar's open. I'll pray with you. Maybe you want to surrender to missions or ministry. Maybe you want to join this church membership. Maybe this morning, though, you've never known Jesus. Maybe you've never known the one that changes you from the inside out. Maybe you've never taken a step to say, I want to follow him. I want to know the one who died for my sins. I want to know the one who can make me whole. I want to know the one who can make me useful. I want to know the one who can take the little bit that I have and make it into more than enough. Maybe that's you this morning. If you don't know Jesus, you walk down and say, Brother Troy, I want to know Jesus, and we'll go from there. But wherever you're at, whatever you need, give it to him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now, and we thank you, and we praise you for your blessing.